Thank the Lord this morning for His love, for His salvation to us all. And some good news this morning concerning that song. If you keep on walking, if you don't quit walking, by the grace of God, you'll get there. Isn't that wonderful? And not only will you get to heaven, but you'll accomplish in this life things for the Lord. And let's not be discouraged in well-doing, because we will, by the grace of God, in this life, reap if we faint not. So the good news is, if you keep walking, you'll get there. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right, but just keep right on a walking. The rewards are wonderful. Begin this morning by asking us a question. Briefly, are you interested in life? Are you interested in being alive? Are you interested in breathing? Are you interested in your blood flowing through your veins? Are you interested in the fact that life is meant to be something that we can enjoy and that we can have? How about freedom? Are you interested in freedom? Being able to choose. Being able to be free from certain things. I think we all would say, yes, I'm interested in life. I think if we thought a little further, we'd each one say, yes, we're interested in eternal life. I think if each one of us would say this morning, we're interested in freedom. We're interested in being able to make choices. We're interested in being able to be free of debt, free of sin, and free of the encumbrances that keep us from being maybe all we could be, taking away our peace or taking away our joy. So life itself is of interest to us, and freedom is interesting to us. Well, I want to tell you some more good news this morning. God also is interested in life. Have you ever thought where life came from? That kind of proves God's interested in it. And God is interested in not just life in the rudiments of this world, but that our life may be full, and our life may be effective, that our life may count for Him, and that our life may be pleasing to Him. And He's not only interested in life today, but He is interested in eternal life. So much so that He gave His only begotten Son, that you and I would not have to perish if we would believe into Him. But we could have not just life today, but we could have eternal life. He's interested in freedom. He said, "Whomever the Son has set free is free indeed." The Lord is willing and interested in delivering us from the encumbrances that we allow to come into our life. He is interested in delivering us from our sins. So thank the Lord this morning that God is interested in some of the very same things that you and me are interested in. To the degree He goes above what we could ask or think, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant, that we might be free indeed, and that we might have eternal life within our own heart. Today I want us to think about how much God is interested in life, that He has not just given us an opportunity, but He has given us Himself to be a faithful, loyal, and guiding companion in this life with us, that we do not have to live life entirely dependent on our resources, our power, or our strengths. But God Himself is interested in living, abiding with us, and enabling us to have life. And not only that, that we would portray life, demonstrate life as a glorious event for God. So I want us to think a little bit today about living and walking in the Spirit of God. What a joy that is, to be occupied by God. You know, people are occupied by myriads of things in this life. Some of them we talked about in the Sunday school class this morning. But do you know the greatest gift that you and me could ever hope to have is for God to take this old clay temple and make it His blessed abode, purge out sin, purge out the dross that would keep us from being effective for Him, then able us to be able, as the song said, to walk on in times of discouragement, walk on in times of not being understood, walk on in times of temptation, walk on for Jesus every day. What a blessing that is, that you and I can live in the Spirit, you and I can walk also in the Spirit. So it's twofold, and it's a blessed event. Scripture that got my mind to pondering on this is found in Galatians 5:25. And this is what it said, 5:25 of Galatians. It's conditional in that Paul, I believe, was speaking to believers, but he's also, today, God is offering this to every one of us who will believe. That the Lord God of heaven not only wants us to have His Spirit, but He wants that Spirit to affect our walk or our course of life. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, if you have invited Christ to come in by the Holy Ghost, if you have allowed the Lord to come in and He has graciously accepted your invitation, or may I say you've accepted His, however, if then we are living in the Spirit, if we have escaped from sin, if we have escaped from the power of sin, if we have escaped from the guilt of sin, if we're walking in newness of life or living in newness of life, if we live in the spiritual realm, He said, let us also walk that way. You know, it's a very interesting thing about people. We know what's noble. We know what's required. And we know what we ought to say. And those come somewhat easy at times. But to put it into practice and to be what we know we ought to be, not only to know what noble character is or Christian character is, but to put that Christian character into everyday use in our life, in demonstration, that becomes where we certainly need the power of the indwelling Christ, the indwelling Lord. Because life is full of adventure, and life is full of changes, and likes and dislikes, insults and pats on the back. And every one of us have responses to those things. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to respond in a way that is unpleasing to the Lord. So if we live in the Spirit, if we have this testimony of salvation, if we have allowed the Lord to become our King and our Savior, He said, if that be the case, then let the conduct of your life show that. Let the witness of your life, let the deportment of your life, the characteristics that you display in your conduct with your fellow man, in your family, in the business world, in your relationship with him, let it be shown that you have escaped the bonds of being a fleshly, earthly creature that is bound by the habits and the plagues and the attitudes and all the things that assault mankind and hold us down and keep us earthborn and keep us from soaring with the Lord into the heights of joy, the heights of peace, the heights of love, allowing the fruits of the Spirit to be demonstrated. Lord, if we have that testimony, may we today also demonstrate it with our life. Because I promise you something, you'll have the opportunity. You will have the opportunity. Life will present you a cornucopia, maybe that's a good word, of ways to demonstrate, I've been with Jesus. I am a new creature, and old things have passed away. I used to behave in certain ways, and I have buttons in me, and if you push those buttons, they brought me out. But now, I've been with Jesus. And I no longer walk according to the dictates of that old man of the flesh. But now I have found an abiding comforter, an abiding peace that will be with me all my life's journey. And he'll receive me into glory. And by him I live and breathe. By him I have my direction now. And he rules, he reigns in me. Remember, Jesus is a king. Lord, help us to submit to him. This word, as I said, walk, has to do with our conduct, our deportment. It also demonstrates what kingdom we're of. It also demonstrates what country we live in and who our king is. And our walk should be to God, to all well-pleasing. As a Christian this morning, settle this in your heart. Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. This morning, as Christians, let's set it in our heart. I want to walk today in the Spirit. I want to walk today to all well-pleasing. We want to be able to come down at the end of a day without regrets, without having to try to come up with an excuse to God. But we want to have our life open and free before him, where we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Little children pray, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, children, innocent, can pray that prayer, but we as adults have got to rehearse the day. How did I live? How did I walk? How did I talk? How was my conversation? Did I demonstrate by my life and by my words, by my thinking, by my attitude, did I demonstrate I've been with Jesus all day and he's led me in the right way? Then I can say, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Then we can have confidence should the Lord come in the wee hours of the morning, while we were asleep. Lord, help us. Walk in the Spirit. Literally, this word Spirit in the Greek is pneuma. From the same word we get pneumatic. It means air or current of air. But it also means spiritually and in the realms of the Holy Word of God, other things too. It's the vital principle by which the body is animated. It is the motivating force within man. We're going to get into this in a moment, and we'll find out there's other spirits. There's the Spirit of God, which is holy, but there's also the spirit of the flesh, or the spirit of man. So it's very vital to know what is our motivator. What is that vital principle that animates this body, that animates this mind, that animates these lips and tongue, these eyes and these ears, these hands and these feet, and my desires and my wishes. The Spirit is a vital influence, regardless of whether it's God's Spirit or the Spirit of the world or the Spirit of our own self, the Spirit that lives in us, whether it's devoted to God or not. It's vital. You remove it, you got a corpse. So we need to understand, we need to know what spirit we are. We need to know what our influence is. We want to need to know that, and we need to find out what are we walking in. It's the rational spirit, the power by which the human being feels, thinks, and decides. We're not going into discourse this morning between the soul and body, or soul and spirit rather. In the Old Testament, they seem to be a little more synonymous than they do in the New Testament. But the point is that the rational spirit, that which observes, that which we feel, we receive stimulation and we respond and think and decide. It also means a life-giving spirit. We need to recognize that when the Lord created man, he breathed into him that air. The Lord came down in the cool of the evening or in the wind of the evening, or the spirit, and he dwelt and talked with Adam and Eve. And he breathed into Adam, and they became a living soul. That breath is essential to life, whether we're talking about physical life or spiritual life. Whether we're talking about life in the flesh and what motivates us, or life in the spirit that motivates us. The spirit of God. The spirit is essential. The disposition of influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. The efficient source of any power, affection, emotion, desire. As you study this word spirit, you'll find then it's very vital. You'll find it's extremely important. And what spirit motivates us has a tremendous influence in our life. In fact, it has total influence in our life. And we need to examine it. We need to think about it. We must be interested in life as God is interested in life. But we must be interested beyond just today and how I feel or what I'm going to have for dinner or how someone treated me. We've got to be interested in eternal life also. What happens is we find the spirit of man, me and you, we have certain tools to deal with life. Now, granted, we always need God. But we have feet to walk with, teeth to eat with, hands to defend ourselves with. We have a mind that can be cunning and can figure out things. We have quite a list of tools that the spirit of man can use for his own comfort. Some of them are not, I would say none of them of himself is bad. Some of them are taking possession of the devil and used in a bad way. But that is not enough to defeat the devil. Have you ever thought about it? I hope you have. It's not enough to ensure eternal life. Songwriter said, "In my hands, no price I bring." I don't have anything, Lord, to ensure eternal life or to have victory over the stigma of sin. I don't have anything in my spirit to accomplish the noble, the pure, the holy, the will of God. I cannot please God with my spirit. So then we begin to say, where is that help going to come from? I'm glad God is interested in helping us in that area today. I'm glad He's interested in you and me having something better than just the spirit of man or the life-giving force of man. You know what's going to happen to the life-giving force of man, don't you? It's going to play out. If you're counting on your strength, your zeal, your vigor, we know what's going to happen to it. It's going to go the way of all flesh. But God's Spirit in us can be that eternal driving force, motivating force, that will lead us not only in the right walk here, but it'll lead us right into the portals of glory. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I think of this way, and I'm going to use it this way, I should say. There's two life-giving forces at work in man. Whether you're a saint or a sinner, you have a spirit. And because of that spirit, you're alive. Because of the fact that you live and you breathe and you have air going in, and you have a motivating influence, that in a sense is life. Now, it's not eternal life, but in this context I'm using it right now, you have life. That's a motivating force. Sure it is. Your spirit is a motivating force. The spirit of an animal, we say, that motivates it, but I'm thinking about a human. Sometimes that motivating force promotes man to greatness, inventive, accomplishes things, studious, worker, artist, poets, songwriters, industrial giants, entrepreneurs, that motivating, life-giving force. Sometimes it promotes men to the most base of things, evil and cruel, but it always promotes man to selfishness, his interest above everything else. That's one force that works within man. Praise the Lord, there's not just that one, though. There's also the Spirit of God. And that is the part that you and me really should be the most interested in. The Spirit of God is one that leads in holiness and all truth. But He is not a natural born accompanier of man since the fall. He has to be invited in. He has to be surrendered to. And therein lies the problem. Because the spirit of man doesn't want to surrender. The spirit of man is interested in the flesh. Therefore, they work in accompaniment and would bar out the spirit of eternal God, who would lead us into all truth and into eternal life. But thank God this morning, if we will, we are not left to our spirit. Aren't you glad of that? The Bible speaks of being born again. That tells me two things at least. One is that first birth and that first life and that first spirit was not enough. Being born denotes life. When someone is born, we say, well, there's life there. We believe there. We see the life there. When we're born from above, we take on then not that spirit of below or the earth, but now we're born of the Spirit of God. And that becomes a life-changing, life-giving force within us. Praise the Lord for that. So Paul wrote, if you have possessed this change of heart, change of direction, change of thinking, if you have a new motivating influence in you, walk that away. And I believe we will. I don't believe we can help but do that. I don't believe Christ, how shall I say this? I know Christ was a man in the sense that he was born a woman. But when it came time for him to make choices, he always chose what pleased the Father. Because of the Spirit, and I know we get into theology here, because of the Spirit that dwelt in him. Because the motivating influence in Christ was so great and so devoted that he could not do what he wanted to in the flesh, but he chose the will of God. That's what God wants to place in us. He wants Christ in us. He wants the Holy Ghost in us. Then when it comes time to choose how I'm going to behave, how I'm going to clothe my body, how and where I am going to go, what I shall wear, how I shall speak to those who entreat me or treat me less than kind. All I will want to do then in the Spirit is draw from that life-giving force within me that wants to please the Father. Then saying no to this man and his force becomes possible because a greater than the strong man has come into the temple now and lives there. May the Lord help us each one. In order then for man to live eternal, he must be subject to the Spirit of God. Are you this morning going to live eternal? Do you have aspirations of living eternal? I want to ask you a question. Are you subject to the Spirit of God? God is an eternal Spirit. God has absolute authority. And God is eternal. And eternal life is in His hands. Then if I desire to live eternally, and He alone has the yes or the no as to whether I do or not, should it not make practical application and sense that I submit myself to the Father, the Hebrew writer said, to the Father of spirits and live? Because let Him become the motivator. Let Him become the one that prompts me and leads me, empowers me, strengthens me, become the force, the life-giving force that not only helps in this life, but will also endure to eternal life. To allow the Lord, the writer of Hebrews was talking about, to allow the Lord to correct us. That's the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the 9th verse. Allowing the Lord to correct us, allowing the Lord to direct us, allowing the Lord to have power. He said, should we not be in subjection then to the Father of spirits that we might live? Oh yes, today, where is our affections? Where is our submission? May I say to us today, every one of us are submitting to something. Every one of us are submitting to some spirit. We, every one, have a spirit in us. And that spirit of man is powerful. He can cry aloud. He has a lot of influence. He can be so wise at times, or sound like he is. And he wants to be heard, and he wants to be vindicated. The Spirit of God is also there. And I need to know, and we need to know this morning, who are we allowing to influence us? If we have a testimony this morning of being living in the Spirit, being a possessor of God, then by all means we are encouraged, we are required, we are expected to let our light shine and reflect His glory in everything we do and everything we say. Then when it comes to eternal life, the Spirit of God must then become the controlling influence in our life. Now I'm speaking practically. I know there's the effects of love, of devotion, and desire. I'm wanting Him to do that. But practically speaking, if I want eternal life, I've got to become subject to, not myself anymore, but I must be subject then to the grace of God. Over in John 6 and 63, we've alluded to this, but I want to read it in another scripture. John 6 and 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or giveth life. He's speaking of the Spirit of God, but also he's speaking of the Spirit itself. Okay? It is the Spirit that quickeneth or brings life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Can you imagine a little bit just a body? And that body has no power, no authority. It has no dimension. It's just a body. But when the breath of life or the Spirit comes in, then it becomes animated. Then it becomes able to go about. The life-giving force comes into the body. The fact that you and me are flesh and blood profits us really nothing. It is the Spirit that dwells in us that's going to be the final say-so. Whether I'm tall or short, male or female, rich or poor, pretty or ugly, at the judgment will not enter in to the equation. Whether I can leap or whether I just can barely pick my feet up, the flesh profits nothing. Can we get a hold of that this morning? It's the Spirit that gives life. It's that which motivates me as a body that's important. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Help it not to be said of us today. Help us to know in whom we have believed. Help us to be a possessor of the right spirit. Help us to have cast aside by the Spirit and the blood all the old things. Because, folks, we are in a society since the fall, really. We studied about it in Sunday school. The flesh is a crying influence today. And it's being fed deliciously. It's being catered to in every dimension. We are taught all manners of gratification of the flesh openly. The flesh is not to be denied. The flesh is the primary thing. And Jesus Christ said it doesn't profit us anything It's the spirit of man, the spirit in a man. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Divine words, holy words, the written word, the inspired word, the word of instruction through the Holy Ghost, the following of that, the obedience to that, going against the grain of society, going against the grain of my own spirit, my own feelings, my own emotions. That's where life is. May God help us today to want not only to have the right spirit, this is kind of a paradox, but also to walk in the right spirit. Now, may I say, it's my thinking, that if we have the spirit, the right spirit, and we don't walk in the right spirit, we won't have the right spirit. Maybe if we have the right spirit and we walk in the wrong spirit, we didn't have the right spirit to start with. You know, we can be duped. We can be hoodwinked. And we can be deceived. The flesh. Oh, that we as the people of society today could get a hold of this truth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Without 7, we spoke about this. God formed man, it said, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and the man became a living soul or a living being. The flesh, the blood, became alive and animated. It became an activity in people, and you could be demonstrations. So when the Lord breathes into us after we've been saved, he brings himself, his power, his love, his spirit. And, you know, you let a Christian do wrong, and the world knows it. If a Christian, professed Christian, if a Christian does wrong, the world knows it. Don't have to be an Einstein or even a Bible scholar, and they'll point out, well, Christians don't do that, shouldn't do that. Christianity is much maligned today because professed Christianity doesn't walk in the Spirit. And you know what they fulfill? The lust of the flesh. So they come up with a doctrine, well, everybody sins, more or less. We're just forgiven, and we ask forgiveness. Professed Christianity does not walk in the Spirit. Therefore, they're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then we see men who have testimonies use profanity, smoke, cheat, get caught in scandals, but yet they're professed Christianity. You know what they were walking in? They were walking in the flesh. They weren't walking in the Spirit. Do you think the Spirit of God would lead a man into an extramarital affair? Do you think the Spirit of God would lead a man into profanity or to cheat, to lie? I don't think so, do you? Yet we see all around us professed Christianity doing those things. It's because they're not possessed by the right spirit. They haven't been to Calvary for that life-giving force of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from their sins. Folks, if we're free, we're truly free. We're not half free, we're free. Over in Romans, I want to talk just briefly about two products of the Spirit. I know there's more, but I want to look at two products of the Spirit of God, of the right Spirit. Or the products of both Spirits, what the effect is. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse. Product 1. For they that are after the flesh do mind or do pay attention, give respect to the things of the flesh. That is a product of being fleshly possessed or having the spirit of the flesh. Folks, it's going to be the paramount influence in our life. That's one of the products. But they that are after the Spirit, capitalized, the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, then they mind the things of the Spirit. So I would ask us today, how is our mind? What do we think on? What's important to us? What are our goals? What are our aspirations? How's the conversation of your life, the conduct of my life? What's really and truly important, and what are we focused on? What makes us happy? What gives us courage? What gives us strength? What helps us to endeavor to do the right thing? What mind do you have? Do we have the mind that is of the flesh or the spirit of the flesh? It's life-giving in that sense. Without it, we'd be dead. And we are influenced by it, and it has power. Is that the mind you're of? We'll go somewhere else in a minute with that. Or are you of the Spirit of God? It has life-giving force, eternal life-giving force. Are you driven or led by, maybe we should say, that? The sixth verse, for to be carnally minded is death. See, it is a life-giving force when you're born. And the spirit of man has a certain amount of power and strength. But the end result is you follow that spirit, you walk in that spirit, you obey that spirit, you subject to that spirit, and eventually what you think is life is leading you to death. So we have two spirits, the spirit of man, the spirit of a life that's short-lived. Oh, we have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of life eternal. If we follow this Spirit that everyone was born with, eventually it'll lead to death. And not only just a literal death, because we're all going to suffer the loss of the Spirit in that sense, but we'll forfeit the eternal essence of being with God throughout eternity. It's what we call eternal life. Because it says, for the be carnally minded is death. You know, we read these words, but I sometimes wonder about people. Do we really hear these words? If you take that pistol, 30 caliber, let's say a 38 special, and if you load it with 6 rounds, cock the trigger, place it to your temple and pull the trigger, it's going to kill you. We understand that, don't we? If I threw you out a 38 special with 6 holler points in it, and I said, cut that thing and pull the trigger, and you'll die. I have this suspicion there's not a one of us in here today would even pick the thing up. Okay? Maybe to get it away from a child. Certainly we wouldn't cock it. Certainly we wouldn't put it to our head. Certainly we wouldn't pull the trigger. We got that much sense. We'd hide it. We'd unload it. Try to pass a law against it. We understand the deadly force of a 38 special with 6 holler points cocked and primed and put to your temple. He said to be carnally minded is death. How many of us truly grasp that? I think if more of us, and I'm speaking us, people, humans, if we really could grasp what he just said to us, we'd run from that old spirit of man. We'd want to put him in a jail somewhere. We'd want to lock him up and throw away the key because he's inspired of the devil. And he's death. We'd want to pass a law against him. Lord, don't let this old man get out anymore. Lord, when I'm hurt, I want to respond as Jesus responded. Because if I start responding in the flesh, I'm going to die, Lord, and I don't want to die eternally. I wonder if we as people, no fingers pointed, we as people understand if we mind the spirit of man, we are going to die. That scares me because I'm here with the rest of us. And I got a mind. And if you insult me, I feel it. When nudity is paraded in front of me, I'm tempted. But to be spiritually minded is death. Do we really understand it? Do I? Something to think about. Lost my place, but I'll get back. But to be spiritually minded, is life and peace. Today I set before you, he told Joshua, life and death. Choose life that you may live. Today, God sets before us his spirit, if you will, or presents himself. Here is my Holy Ghost. Here is my eternal spirit. Here is my life-giving force. Will you allow it to come in? Will you allow it to wash you and make you clean, the blood of my Son, if you will? And then will you allow me to possess your earthen vessel that you may live, that you may have soft answers to the harshness of life, that you may turn your head from the nudity of life, that you may have the grace to help you in all the circumstances of life? Will you allow me to possess you with my Holy Spirit, that you will have power from on high and you can live eternally? That's the difference, folks, death and life. Can we bring it down to that today? If we're carnally minded and mind the things of the flesh and obey it, respect it, submit to it, answer to it, follow it, lead it, led by it, walk in that way, we're going to die. But if we walk in the Spirit, he said, we're going to live. I asked us at the beginning, who's interested in life? I suspect if I'd have said, let's all raise our hands that's interested in life, we'd have all done something like this. Some of us might have said this. Some of us might have jumped. Some days we feel so good about living, we just want to jump. God help us to feel so good about God's Spirit that nothing else matters when it comes down to, if it's a choice, it's God. A lot of times we have choices, but when it comes down to sin or not to sin, to act like the spirit of man or act like the spirit of God, it's the spirit of God. Always, it has to be. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred or extreme dislike against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Someone come up to you and say, I have invented a magic elixir. And you take this elixir and you take a big swig of it. Then you take the rest of it and douse all over your body. Then you go and get on the end of the chapel here and say, I can fly. And start doing this and jump off and you can fly. Now, who would believe that? I don't think our smallest child hardly would believe it. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. And it can't be. You think about that one. And that's a life-giving force in every one of us. It's got its limitations. But folks, it's there. And it's a life-giving force. It has the power to animate us, but it can't be subject to God. That makes me really consider what's going to happen. What am I going to do? How do I get out of this? I want to kind of end up right there, but let's go on. Think about it now. I could pour elixir on me till I drowned, and I still couldn't fly if I flapped my arms. It just can't be. The spirit of man cannot be subject to the spirit of God. It will not lead you in that direction. Let's read on here a moment, though. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, translated from one kingdom to another, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Did you know there was a place he said, but did we do this and did we not do these mighty works? I never knew you. That's sobering, folks. That caused me as a Christian to get on my knees and say, Lord, help me. How is it with this poor man? He said, if we don't have that spirit, and we could, it said here, the capitalized spirit, that can be the Holy Ghost. I don't have a qualm with that teaching. I don't have a qualm with the idea that it's the character and the persona of Christ living in us. They're three. They're one. There's no contradiction here. If we do not have this spirit within us, we can't please God. We can't serve God. Have not love, you've become as sound in brass and as tinkling cymbal. Give your body to be burned, and he said, I never knew you. Have all kind of faith, and I never knew you. It's the spirit, the animating force within us that must be identified and, if necessary, got out of there and overcome by the Spirit of God. I want to look now in that same chapter, the 13th verse. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. Is anyone here this morning that needs to turn around? Are there any of us here today from your heart can say, I've been living to the flesh? Be honest with yourself. I have been living to the flesh, and I am going to die. Regardless of what the flesh and the world may have told me, the Bible said, I'm going to die. Praise God this morning. He'll renew a right spirit in us. But if you shall through the Spirit mortify, bring into subjection, put to death the deeds of the body, or that motivating force of the spirit of man, you shall live. Thank God this morning for that. Now I want to go back to the thought that cannot please God with our flesh. Galatians 2:20. And what is our answer to this twofold influence, at least twofold influence in our life? What is our answer? Paul came to a place, and he said it this way in Galatians. That's in Colossians. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. There is a place that the spirit of man is going to kick and rear about. Because when we are crucified with Christ, we're telling that powerful influence, you've got to go. You're going to lose your seat of authority. Brother Carver used to teach two works of grace, something like this. He would have a throne. Maybe you've seen it. And the throne was in the heart. And who sat on that throne was the controlling influence. The spirit of man must be dethroned. And the spirit of God must be enthroned. Then we can have eternal life. And that's the only way. If our motivation comes from the flesh, it is as filthy rags. If our motivation comes from the selfishness of man, it is nothing but fuel for the burning. We must come to a place that we decide there's going to be a change of leadership. I'll not follow this old spirit of carnality anymore, because the 38 special will kill me and this old spirit of man will kill me. I'll not serve the flesh anymore. We've got to come to that, folks. We've got to see the deadliness of it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Aha. When you're crucified with Christ, you don't go to a grave. The closest you come to a grave is this watery grave right over here. You live. Newness of life. Joy of life, peace of life. Become subject to the Father of spirits and live. Yet it's not I. We know where I got me. You know where you got you. You know where the spirit of man got us. You know where the attitudes and the directions that are in that's in man, that this enmity with God, we know where that got us. Yet not I, but praise God, now Christ liveth in me. Today I hope every one of us can say that. And I don't think it ought to be just a one-time experience that we say, oh, I was saved and sanctified, or however we want to term it, 29 years ago in 6 months. Praise God you were, but are you today? Are you today? That's an everyday experience that I must consent my will to God's will. It's every day I've got to say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. I am thankful if you've been saved a long time. And that is important. But it's important today. Are you still saved? Are you still walking in the light? Are you still walking in the Spirit? Are you still obedient to the Spirit of God? Do you still have life, eternal life within you? That's also an important question. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that you now see animated, folks, dear Galatian brothers, the life you see now in me, it's not the old Paul. It's not motivated by the error of the flesh. It is motivated by the holiness and the truth of God. Oh, praise God that He's willing to be that influence. Aren't you grateful that He had come down to the depths of sin and that old dead spirit that was in us that led us to the envies and the lust of the flesh? Aren't you glad He came to us anyway and said, I'll save you, I'll deliver you, I'll put a new spirit in you, I'll write my laws in your heart? Aren't you glad He was willing to do that? And look how many do not take advantage of that. Today, are you taking advantage of that? Now it's not me that's living. Praise God, it's Christ, it's Christ. It's all about Jesus now. It's all about what would Jesus do. It's all about Him living in me, reigning in me, having authority in me. It's all about me being submissive to Jesus. It's all about me taking my earthly possessions and saying, Lord, they're yours. How do you want me to use them? It's all about Christ, the hope of glory living in us. It's all about the Holy Ghost being the power, the influence, the strength, the motivator, the life-giving influence in our life. And without it, folks, we won't live long. I live, and the life I now live in the flesh is important to note this. See, Paul, I imagine, from all I understand, when Paul got up off the road to Damascus, went over there to the town, and Ananias came. And I imagine when Paul went back to some of his friends, and some of the circles, started telling of his experiences, he didn't have to identify himself. He probably still looked just like Paul. If he had a little beard, you know, maybe a full beard, maybe a goatee. I don't know what Paul looked like. Maybe he had a limp. Probably still had that limp. I don't know if he even had a limp or not. If he had a little twitch, probably still had that twitch. He didn't have to identify himself as Paul. He was still in the flesh. The life that I now live, just like I was before Damascus, as far as the way I look, the inflections in his voice, the color of his eyes didn't change, I'm sure. None of that changed at all. But he said, the life that I now live that you see is no more animated and directed by this old man, Paul, or the spirit of man. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He humbled himself. Lord, what would you have me do? The Lord would have us have the right spirit, the spirit of life. So today, if you're interested in life, it would behoove us all. What spirit are you of? What's your motivating influence? Have you lulled yourself to sleep thinking, I'm okay, it's all right? But are you playing with a loaded .38 special all the time? And if it goes off, that's death. How many times have Christians had to come back to the... And I'm, help me say this right, Lord. I believe all Christians have to come to the altar somewhere and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I don't want to say that didn't happen. But look at the track record. And how's your track record? Is it a track record of the same old thing, same old thing, same old thing? Hurt feelings, aggravation, pride. You know, we can name it all off. Folks, we need to have the right spirit. We need to be motivated by the right influence. And if we're not, we're playing with death. Every time we yield to the flesh, we're taking death and juggling it and hoping it comes down on our side. May the Lord help us today. I'm crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. And if Christ is alive, folks, He's going to reign. Song, do we not sing a song sometimes, reigning there without a rival? Is there a rival? Paul, speaking of the law and Hagar, and he wasn't saying the law was bad, but he's saying the law was superseded by something greater than the law. And he said, cast out the bondwoman. Maybe there's a bond thing in us that needs to be cast out. And I'll tell you where the root of that bond is, that's holding us back, holding you back, holding me back. I promise you where it is. It's in the flesh. It's a strength in the flesh that has not come subject to the Spirit of God. Today, thank God that God is interested in life and that we can have the Spirit of life living in us. You pray for me.